All right. Y'all got to hear the book, didn't you? Yep. Now, I just want to say this. I know Brad, they're probably watching this somewhere. You know, we're continuing in Luke 15. Now, he took 2 weeks to cover the first 10 verses. So buckle your seats. So I get this remaining 27 minutes for 21. Would you just go ahead and pray? Say, God, let the age of miracles happen. We believe it's true. Let it happen. Now, this is an incredible story, and this is a very familiar story to some of you, but I'm sure there's some people here that have never heard this story. And you will, you're going to find that there's going to be something new in this, I trust. But if there's not, and if you're just hearing something, maybe by way of reminder, hopefully it'll stir you up. And if you're one of those people that are on a lot of our hearts, then you might be in that distant land even today. I pray that God's Spirit is going to let you know how much you are loved, how much the Father loves you, and how many good things He still has for you, even though many of us, and maybe some of you, have squandered that away. So we've talked about lost coins. Pastor Brad talked about lost sheep. Today we're talking about lost sons. It's not just one son. We always think about the prodigal son, but the truth is in this story, the older brother, just as lost, just as far away from God as his younger brother. So we're going to review some of this and talk about it. And then I praise God that first service, we got to have a great ministry time at the end of the service. And I anticipate that God's going to show up and minister to our hearts again this second service. So can you, if you have a note sheet, there's some back in the back. They hand those out. Here's the emphasis. The emphasis isn't on badness, okay? It's easy to read this and go, man, that guy was a jerk. Man, he was awful. That kid, I can't believe him. But this message today isn't about our badness or even this guy's badness. It's about lostness. You see, and there's a difference. There's a difference. Lost just means you're away. It means you don't know where you're going. You're not headed toward God's house. You're headed away. And you don't have to be a bad person to be away from God. How many of y'all know that? In fact, if you've ever tried to be much of an evangelist, you will find that sometimes the hardest people to share the gospel with are really good people because they don't think they have a need for a Savior. I mean, because, you know, there a lot of times two people are, you know, they're weighing out their good things against their bad things. And they're saying, well, I'm better than I am bad. But listen, this is not about badness. It's about being away from God. So we're going to jump in here. There's the emphasis, again, the last two sermons and this one, too, is this summed up in this word. There is joy before the angels of God over one person who repents. And we're going to see that again today. So we'll pick it up. I'm just going to talk through it and make applications in our lives. If you have a pen, there's going to be a couple of things I think might be noteworthy. So hopefully you can write that down. So here's the first kid, the first son. Guys, can you just say, what an attitude? Can you just say that with me? Honestly, this guy is incredible. Verses 12 and 13, it says this. It says he comes to his father and he says, Father, I want you to give me my part of the estate. Now, that belongs to me. Now, I'm going, okay, now what's going on here? I mean, what the father leave his computer open and it was on his 401k, statement or something. He go, you know, hey, dad's got a couple mil here. Man, I tell you what, I want mine now. I mean, how many of you have had a son or daughter say, hey, Dad, go ahead and divide up the estate now. Anybody? I doubt it. You know, I just don't think most of us are in that place. But that's what he did. Now, here's the next incredible thing. Now, this is a story Jesus was telling. He says, the Father did it. Okay, in the story, Jesus tells, he says, the Father did it out of love. He went ahead and gave it to his younger son. Can I just tell you what that is for a lot of you and a lot of me? I was here. You see, God had a whole lot better things for me when I was young than what I received from him. It took some real humbling for me to come and give myself and surrender to the Lord. But the thing was, because of God's great love, he says, you want to go that way? Watch my hand. go ahead and go that way. He'll take his hand off of directing our lives and let us have the results and desires of our heart, even when they're not his desires. God will let us do that. Well, that was the younger brother. Man, he had all the food he needed where he was. He had his family, he had a house, he had a future. Listen, he had everything but contentment. He had everything but an inner satisfaction and a knowledge of how blessed he was. And so as a result of it, he wanted to do his own thing. And it's easy to pick out. First off, the impatience. Dad, I'm not going to wait for you to die. I need my money now, right? I mean, can you picture this guy? His dad's in critical condition. Hey, pull the plug. Just go ahead and get this over with. Come on, we got to move this thing down the road. Oh, man, he's going to be healed again? I'm talking, this is corrupt, right? And you would go, oh, that's awful to think that. That's awful. This is where this kid was. He was impatient. He was presumptuous. He was greedy just to think that, hey, I'm definitely going to get it. And I'm going to inherit something. Now, it's true. He was in the Old Testament. And, you know, the rules were that, or the law was that the oldest son would get a double portion. And then the other sons or children would divide up the rest. Okay. And I mean, that was Old Testament law. So maybe he knew that, but he wanted it now. He wanted freedom from his father's control. He had some fleshly appetites that weren't being satisfied there on the, you know, the home spread, because it says as soon as he got away, he started spending his money on riotous living in one place. We know he was quite the ladies' man. So all of those things were going on. He was trying to get out from under his father's house. Now, look at this word. Write this down in your note sheet. The word far country or distant country. Listen, he's not talking about geographic distance necessarily, okay? We could be in a far country down at the local bar. How many of you know that? That for you, that's probably a far country. You could be in a far country in a lot of different places. But the word comes from two Greek words, koron and the word makron, and it means out there. It really does. Some of the living translations could translate it. And he was out there. He was in the middle of nowhere. That's what the Greek word means. It means he was just lostness. You know, kind of like the lost in space. They're out there and they don't know where they are. And that was a state of not just physical being, but it was a place of his mental, where he was in his mind and his thoughts. He was in the middle of nowhere. And so I just want to ask you, have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? You're in a place where you've left anything that you ever knew about the life of God, and you got away from it, and you basically have turned your back on that because you don't want those expectations. You don't want those convictions. You really don't want those rules. You don't want those, those people thinking you should be this, expectations. And so what it is, you're just doing your own thing, quote, not hurting anybody. You're just in the middle of nowhere doing what you want to do, how you want to do it, with who you want to do it with. And God says that is the far country. It's the far country. And the thing is that for those of us that have ever been there, and I think that's probably a whole lot of us have been there, and guess what? Coming back this way, there's probably some that are still there, right? Now, I know we know lots of people that are there, but there are people that are there, and guess what? God's going to let us go there until by an act of our will, we come to a place where we really desire and want God to lead and direct our lives. You say, well, Pastor, that may never happen. It's true. It's called lostness. See, it's not badness, because there are a lot of good people that are just as lost as the person who is stealing and killing and doing some of the horrendous things that we read about in the news. You see, lostness is the state that Jesus came to deliver us from. It wasn't just badness. Now, guys, don't get me wrong. Badness is bad. Badness has consequences, right? Hey, you don't mess up without a consequence, and you don't sin without a consequence. But the issue isn't just changing your bad behavior. The issue is letting God change your heart, your generator. See, you got something inside of you that's generating your actions. And sometimes we're going to see it's like the older brother who's just an attitude of, hey, I got to be a good person in order for God to accept me. Well, here's what happens. Secondly, you know, his circumstances change. Will you say that out loud? Circumstances change. See, some of your circumstances have changed. Man, you had a great job. Boom, it's gone. Some of your situations have changed. Your relationships change. You know, your place of esteem, maybe your position has changed. Maybe some of your health has changed. Some of you, no, every one of you, your age is changing. And it's going that way, not back that way, right? All right. So we're all changing. Circumstances change. And here's what happened here. Verses 14 through 16 says, it says he was there. He squandered his money. He didn't have a budget. He hadn't been through, you know, Dave Ramsey's program. So he definitely wasn't, you know, tithing 10%, saving 10%, and living on 80%. How many of you know what I mean? He was living and squandering the whole 100% recklessly. Well, when you do that, it ran out. Now, when it ran out, that's one thing. Not only did the people leave, but the whole situation left. It says a famine came. I mean, job layoffs were everywhere. Recession was everywhere. Housing market crashed. You know, all the things happened. And there he was. And he goes, what do I do? Scripture says that he hired himself to a place where he could find a job, and unfortunately, it was working at a pig farm. How many of y'all ever been to a pig farm in your life? A few of you, okay. Now, there are grade A pig farms. I mean, that's, you know, they have concrete floors. I mean, yeah, I've been on some of those concrete floors, and you know, in the afternoons, they'll actually wash away the manure. God, make my mouth say the right thing up here. You know, they'll wash away the stuff because you know why? Because the pigs would eat it. If they didn't wash it away, the pigs would eat it. That's why they were considered unclean in the Old Testament. They ate everything. Well, so anyway, here's the thing though. Guys, you can wash away the manure, but let me tell you what, you can't wash off the stink. If you have ever walked through a pig lot, I guarantee you, your mama would not let you walk into the house with that same shirt on. It just didn't go away. I believe there's something about pig smell that just permeates deeper than anything. Well, anyway, that's another story. But this is where the guy was. And it says, and Scripture says, and he longed to fill his own belly with what the pigs were eating. Now I'm going, man, I guess if you have a jar of Nutella, you put it on anything, it'll make it change a little bit, right? So a little chocolate corn cob, you know, but anyway. He was a mess. Now here's what Scripture says, verses 17. Guys, this is where God is bringing he brought every one of us that have changed, and he is bringing every single person that he still wants to change. And all of your loved ones that you have these cards for, this is where they have to come. They have to come to a place, Scripture called it, come to your senses. Will you say that out loud with me? Come to your senses. Now, if you're in the recovery community, it's another word. It's called hit bottom. Hit bottom. You see, a person will usually not change until they hit bottom, until they come to a place where they realize my resources and my abilities and my potential to change this awful environment, this awful situation my life is in, I'm going to change it. When you hit bottom, you realize, man, I'm powerless. I can't do it. I can't change it. I can't make it happen. And you come to a place we call surrender. You come to a place where you surrender. That's why I love this position of praise that Brandon has taught us. You know, the yada, it's where you open your hands up. It means so many things. But one of the things that shows is surrender. Lord, I surrender. I have nothing in my hands that I'm able to make happen what I want to happen in my life. God, I surrender to you. It's also a position of receiving, right? Lord, I don't have it, but Lord, I receive it from you. That's where this guy was. He came to his senses. Now, what did it take to get to his senses? Yeah, a pig pit, a pig lot. Now, let me ask you a question. There's a verse up here that says, and nobody gave him anything. That's a verse for that. It says, nobody gave him anything. Some of you love your prodigal so much, you know what you're doing? You are just keeping them in their pig pens. You know why? It may just be a little. They're in the pig pen. You just throw them a bologna sandwich every once in a while. Hey, this is clean. In your attempts to be loving and to be helpful and to be giving, really all you're doing is propping up their bottom a little longer. Because some people have a tolerance for shame. Some people have a tolerance for sin. Some people have a tolerance for pain. And the thing is, the kind of change that God wants to bring in every single one of our lives is a change that comes when we're at a place and we recklessly abandon ourselves to God, just like we had previously recklessly abandoned ourselves to sin. You say, oh, that sounds pretty drastic. It is drastic. Again, remember, this guy's sins are obvious. You see, there's another lost son who isn't quite as bad. He's not quite as bad. So the lost son, I mean, the radical younger son, was able to come to his senses more quickly because he knew his circumstances were a disaster. And sometimes that's why you hear some stories about people getting radically saved and you go, wow, man, I don't know. I've never had one of those. I never was that bad. I'm a good person. I'm glad I didn't go through that. Look out, you just became a Pharisee. That's exactly what the Pharisees were saying. I'm so glad I'm not like that guy. Well, God is merciful in that he brought this guy to his senses. And his sense was, I can't change myself. I can't save myself. I can't get myself out of this terrible situation, which it's lostness, not just badness. He says, and I want to change. So what does it take? What does it take? Can I just tell you, I won't go into this detail because, but this week I had to fly down to Tampa, Florida because I have my oldest son. He's an adult, but he was in the ICU. I called him and I had to call 911 and had the medics go over and pick him up and the ambulance. They took him to the ER and they put him in ICU and he was there. He's still there. And you see, sometimes alcohol does a number on your body to where ammonia builds up and you're not in your right mind. Sometimes the alcohol has an effect on your inner insides to where your liver doesn't work and you build up all this fluid and you bloat up like a giant toad, and you know that'll try to kill you. The worst thing that happened to him was blood. Sometimes your vessels will be so saturated with alcohol that your vessels and some of you will actually leak. So anytime I have another son-in-law who's an interventional radiologist, and so when he's in the hospital, I said, man, his blood was down to 3.5. 3.5. They said, man, at 7.0, it's emergency time to give blood. So sure enough, 3 units of blood later, they got it above 7.0. But he's in critical condition. I've asked a lot of y'all to pray. You say, well, why are you sharing this? Because some of you are right there. And some of you have loved ones that are right there. And here's the thing. It is such a hard, hard thing because, I mean, besides feeling like a failure, you know, all those things that today, if you are a better father. I said, well, you know, I know that's true, but, you know, Adam and Eve didn't do so good either. And they had a perfect father, right? Let that sink in. I mean, they didn't have belly buttons, right? You remember that? Yeah, they were created. And they had God, the perfect father, in the perfect environment with the perfect situation, and they still sinned and fell out and were kicked out of the garden. So the thing is, I know that, I'm just going to share this. I hope they're not watching this on tape, but, you know, my ex-wife and my 3 daughters, let's prop him up. Let's bail him out again. Let's help him out again. And can I tell you, I love their heart. They just love their brother, right? They love their brother. But you know what they're doing when you do, they're doing that? You know what you're doing when you're doing that to the people you love? You're just propping up their time in the pig pen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Because we don't like that. That hurts us. We feel like that's wrong. That's not loving. But I'm telling you, according to God's word, people have to come to an end of themselves, and they have to radically surrender to the lordship of Christ for their lives to change. And that's what lostness is. See, there's a lot of good people walking around lost. They're in the far country. They're away from God's best. They're away from God's mercy and love and understanding the great love of God, because they're still thinking, oh, I'm doing good. I'm okay. Guys, we're not. We have to come back to the Father with our whole hearts. So he came to his senses. And here's what he said, and I'll talk more quickly these next few minutes. He came to his senses and he said this, what am I doing here? He says, even my father's hired men. Now listen, that's not the servants. Servants back in those days, a lot of times they were like family. But the hired men were those people that scripture talks about where you went down to the, you know, public area and you hired people for the day. These are the day workers. And he said, even the day workers eat well at my father's table. I mean, my dad feeds them when they're working. He said, here I am starving. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll get up and I'll go to my father and I'll say, Father, I have sinned against you, amen, and I have sinned against heaven. He says, I'm sorry. Make me like one of your hired men. I don't deserve to be your son. Of course, too, he'd already had his inheritance spent. I like what verse 20 says. So he got up. Will you say that with me out loud? So he got up. Now look, if you're here today and you're going, man, that is so me. I'm not willing to get out of this relationship. I'm not ready to move out. I'm not ready to do this. Can I just tell you, there's a time when the Holy Spirit will convict you. And what that means is he just tells it to you on the inside and he convinces you that, yeah, this is God. And yeah, you're the one that needs to change. God's not going to change his mind. Amen. He's not going to change his word just for you. Yeah, you're the one that has to get convicted. And then, I like this, he got up. He said, I'm going to do it. And he's on his way. Praise God. He's on his way to back to see his father. And here's the thing. He had left home with everything and he's coming back with nothing. But guess what? He's coming back and he doesn't realize it's the God's, that his father is going to give him everything again. It's amazing. So he turned from the far country, heading back home. He turned from where he was to where he used to be and turned to God. So he was convinced of this. This next slide. He was convinced of this truth. And if he wasn't, he soon was going to experience it. You see, we have an incredible Father who loves us. Psalm 103, verses 10 through 12. Can y'all read this with me out loud off of the screen, please? Let's just all read this. This is so powerful. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Can somebody say, thank you, Lord? For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. If I could, I can't do it anymore. I don't think I could touch my arms, but you can't see them anymore, because God removes them. So while he was still a long way away, scripture says that he was being watched. It says that his father saw him while he was a long way away. Now get that picture. It's got to imply that somehow the father was looking out the window every so often. It has to imply that the father go out on the porch or something and, you know, just check. Because while the son was a long way off, it says the father saw him. And listen, that's a picture of our Savior running to you. It's a picture of our Savior running to us. What a great picture. And it's so just, he runs to him and it says, and sure enough, the son starts to practice the line that he had memorized in his head and had determined to say. And he says, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Father cuts him off. He doesn't get to say, make me like your slave again. Make me like a hired man again. Father, the word of God says his father kissed him. kissed him on the neck. And then, boy, look at this. He starts blessing him. Say, blessing. I mean, you say, well, I don't know. I've got a robe. But he gave him this robe. That robe was symbolic, though, of a lot of things. Now, of course, we make it we spiritualize it, say the robe of righteousness, but it's a robe of honor. He put this clean robe. Now, I'm going, I wonder if he went down to the river and washed that pig smell off before he got that brand new robe put on him. That might be a, haven't read a book on that. Gave him a ring. The ring was a ring of authority. That was what they implied there. The ring was like a signet that was used as a position of authority. He says he put sandals on his feet. He says, hey, that boy's not a slave. Put some sandals on his feet. And then it says, hey, go get that fattened calf we have back there in the back stall. Bring it up here. Y'all dress that thing out, and we're going to have a party this afternoon. And so they do that. And this is, look at verse 24. The dead has come to life again. The lost has now been found. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Now, we're going to do that here today. We're going to pray for our people, but there's one more son, real quickly. Let me just talk about him just for a second, because unfortunately, guys, see, it's easy for us to identify with the younger son if you were ever rebellious or you ever messed up or you're ever chasing this or you're doing that, because those sins are more visible, right? And the consequences to those sins, we see them quicker. We see them more clearly, right? Because, man, I mean, those consequences are there. You know, you get in trouble, you're bailing yourself out, you're bailing him or her out, and, you know, you wreck your car, all kind of visible consequences. But the older son, well, let's just read what it says. I like this. The older son, verse 25, it says he was in the field. See, well, that's great. He's got a good work ethic. Yeah, he's the owner of everything, but he's still out there working. I believe Jesus was saying, though, look, because he's talking about the Pharisees now. You see, they're the ones picking on Jesus, and Jesus said, let me tell you a story. You see, there's this young son. He's like the tax collector and all those other sinners that are out here, you know, partying all the time that you're judging. But there's another son that's just as lost. He says, man, and he's in the field. You go, well, that's great. It is if you're working to try to please God. If that's why you're doing your work, because you're going to say, God, you owe it to me, which is where he was. It says he got angry when he heard and saw the party going on. He got angry. It made him angry. Shows his resentment, doesn't it? Shows his, I mean, it's like my son, my brother needs to get it. He needs to be zapped. He needs to get punished. He needs the consequences of his sin. That's not a right heart. He talks to the father. He says, son, you've always been with me. But this son was lost, and now he's come home. He's found. He says this too. He says, all that is mine is yours. Do you realize what he said there? He says, look, it's all yours. I already gave that son his part of it. Everything that's left belongs to you. That's a good thought. We have to celebrate and rejoice, for the brother of yours was dead. He's come to life again. He's been lost, and now he's found. That's another brother. Truthfully, that brother's harder to win. That brother sometimes is even harder to identify. And so we've got to be careful to let the Lord speak to us to make sure we're the one standing in grace and mercy and celebrating and rejoicing with people when they come back to the Lord. Man, that's what these cards are all about. We don't stand when we invite people. You need to give one of these to everybody you can. Get 100 of them if you'll be faithful to not leave them in your car. Everybody you meet needs the Savior that we've experienced, right? Everybody. Prodigals and even the second sons too. But here's how we pray for prodigals. I'm going to ask Shannon to come and just start playing. And we're going to sing a song in a minute and pray at the altar one more time today. But these are three verses that two nights ago I prayed from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock in ICU unit in Meese Hospital in Clearwater, Florida. The ICU closed at 8, and the lady said, can you stay in? I said, can I stay here a while? I just want to pray. She was a believer, and she said, sure, no problem. So for 2 hours, I just walked around the room. I was praying in the spirit, praying the scriptures. But these three scriptures specifically, I'm praying over my son. And I'm going to pray them over your loved ones. I'm going to ask you to pray these too. I think we'll read them off the screen. That way you all get to see them. Because it's what changes hearts. The power of God is the only thing that can change these prodigals. We get so frustrated and breaks our hearts, makes us feel like we're bad parents, makes us feel like we're failures. God says, listen, they have to repent. They have to repent. They have to have their eyes open and they have to say, Lord, help me. But we're going to pray for that to happen because God hears our prayers. Read with me out loud off the screen, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. Will all of you read this with me? Here's what he says. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Here's what it says. Those loved ones, exactly where you were, your eyes were blind. They were veiled. It was like stuff was covering it. Yeah, a lot of times it's, you know, it's our pleasures and it's our sin and it's our desires and our favorite football, basketball teams. But eyes are blinded. They just don't see their need yet. It's a trick of the devil. It's spiritual warfare. How about Ephesians 6:12? We've read this before. Listen to this. For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the powers, it's against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Will you say the word spiritual warfare? Guys, we're not just fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting against demonic powers. It's real. So I don't get into all that demon stuff. I'm gonna stay away from that. No, you're in the middle of it. Trust me. It's all the time. We're in spiritual warfare. But now, don't just concentrate, though, on this fact. Oh, I'm being attacked. I'm being attacked. There's no hope. No. I want to read one more. This is when I prayed. I walked over. I laid my hands on my son. And I recognized, God, I can't do one thing to change him other than ask and intercede. But this is what I believe. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says, talking about angels, he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? So I'm in this room and I'm going, angels of God, will you come? I can't do it. Angels, 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 come and minister on behalf of this sick man. Push back the powers of darkness. You see, there's war in the heavens over our families, over our sons, over our daughters. There's war in the heavens over our schools, over our military. There's a spiritual warfare that goes on that's bigger than just fighting against flesh and blood. You may think you're fighting with your husband too much. Can I just tell you? It's not physical. It's not just you and him. There's always powers behind it. I mean, I know you met my wife a while ago. She read, and you're going, how could you argue with that? It's possible. But it's spiritual. It isn't physical. We recognize that. We get into it sometimes. We're both very strong-willed women. I mean, men and women. We're both strong-willed. And we find ourselves in physical, arguing and anger at each other. We'll stop. Devil, we rebuke you in Jesus' name. God, help us. Help us. And that's when we say, angels of God, come and minister. Can you say amen to that? Now, guys, can I just tell you, this is not to try to create any kind of hopelessness. I'm trying to raise our hope level because we are here as victors. We are more than conquerors, Scripture says. More than conquerors. That means we're not just barely conquerors, we're more than conquerors. But boy, I don't feel like it sometimes. Sure haven't felt like it this week, but I know what's true. Can you say amen? Will you stand up with me? Will you please stand? Here's the invitation I want you to do. We're going to sing a very beautiful and very powerful song, and we're going to sing it out of our hearts. We're going to sing it to the Lord, but especially we're going to sing it over. If you have prodigals, that are breaking your heart, that are on your heart, I'm just going to ask you to come, and we're just going to stand and just stand here in the front of the altar here, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to read those verses one more time together. But I just want you to go ahead and step out before we start singing. Come on up. If you've got prodigals that you're praying for, just come and stand, just face up here. I know there's a lot of us. Feel free to come. Now, here's another one, too. I had one young man, first service, and he's just looking at me. He wasn't trying to stare me down. The Spirit of God said, he's a prodigal. You know, and I just went. I said, you want me to pray for you? He goes, yes. He was the prodigal. Y'all come on up. Come on up. This is going to be a very special time in your life. It's going to be a very special time in your life, and I just want you to have the peace and the breakthrough. And you come anytime, but we're going to start singing this song. It says, I'm going to speak Jesus over you. Because, see, it's not about even power. It's about authority. Authority. I got to see what time it is. Okay, I got a little time. You say, yeah, Pastor, 4 minutes, but that's okay. You see, what we're going to be doing right now is we're going to declare our authority. Because power is good, but it'd be like, I don't know, some of our deputies here, I saw one little lady, I'm going, she didn't look like she could whip much, you know, but the thing is, if she was out in that 44 and she was trying to stop the traffic, the blue light's on, but she's trying to stop the traffic, does she have the power to stop a truck coming at her? No, she'd be a spot in the road. But here's the thing, with that blue light on, she's got her uniform on, and she holds her hand up, you know what that truck driver recognizes? Oh, she has the authority of the county of Shelby, Shelby County Authority, because she's a deputy, a deputized deputy. And so that's what we're exercising. Not power first, but authority that's in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Y'all come on, scoot on around, let some people in there. Our prayer team, you're welcome to come up. We're going to pray. But I want us to sing first, and I'm going to lead us in prayer. And let's just sing this song out first, okay? And I want you guys to sing first. You say, I'm not a very good singer. I'm not either, but sing anyway. Okay, here we go. Let's sing it. Sing it.